Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is Stephen McCarthy from the McCarthy Project, where we have been attacking life and sports since 2001. And I am really looking forward to today's show because we are going to be talking about the pursuit of elite performance. And I think it's probably one of those subjects that a lot of people would really love to do, or love to actually live out. I mean, we all listen to the Michael Jordan stories and about how he was so much more of a competitor than everybody else, and how he just hated to lose more than everybody else, and his will to win was so great, and all those different things. And I'm not going to discount that. But the piece of the puzzle is how do we define elite performance? You know, and what is elite performance? And how do we go about attaining it? I think it's probably one of those elusive, you know, types of subjects to find out, okay, if we're attaining elite performance and we only have 50% of the talent of Michael Jordan, you know, are we actually in elite performance? We may not be defined by the world standards, but we are performing at a high level. And one of the things that I think that was a really neat quote from one of Michael Jordan's books was the fact that he felt his brother was a better basketball player. The difference was Michael Jordan was 6'5", and his brother was 5'7". He said when they played in the backyard, his brother beat him more times than not. So it is an interesting discussion, and I'm really looking forward to today to talking about elite performance, and I think that it means something different for everybody. And then we're also going to have Max Seibold on the phone on the show to talk about how he went about it. You know, and he talked about it in his last time he was on the show, how he was, a really good lacrosse player when he was a sophomore. He did okay, but he wasn't like, rocking the whole world and being recruited by everybody. But then he went and he grew like 4 or 5 inches. And so it's one of those things where you come down to it and you realize that what is elite performance? And we hope to define it. And then what are some things you could do to attain it? And realize that elite performance is something based on you, not on somebody else. So with that, that's going to be our show for today. I am totally looking forward to it. I think it was well received last week when Sean came on the show last week. Tremendously great stuff. He's going to break it down for us. So with that, we're going to a quick break, and we'll be back to start up the show.
Five Star Basketball, the leader in basketball instruction and camps. Endorsed by Michael Jordan, Dick Vitale, and Hubie Brown, and where the teaching never stops. Five Star Basketball Minnesota will be hosting a one-day instructional camp on May 18th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and will be hosted by Five Star, the McCarthy Project, and Grassroots Hoops. For more information on the camp, visit themccarthyproject.com/5-star. XL Athlete is the leading provider of online strength and conditioning and speed development camps. For more information on their training programs and speed development camps, visit xlathlete.com. We are excited to offer the following products on themccarthystore.com. Innovate Running Shoes, the leader in barefoot and natural running technology. We carry the full line of sizes and colors. Berkey Water Filters, the leader in anti-gravity water filtration. For more information, visit themccarthyproject.com or go directly to the McCarthy Project store website. That's www.themccarthyprojectstore.com.
Well, we are back. This is Stephen McCarthy from the McCarthy Project, where we have been attacking life and sport since 2001. And today we'll be discussing the subject of elite performance. And to kind of start off on the, retract a little bit, what is the definition of elite performance? You know, is it Michael Jordan? Is it somebody that in the world's eyes has accomplished a lot? Is it somebody that in house basketball scores their first basket, that persists? Is it the person that sits on the bench, only gets the scrub minutes at high school, and then helps the team win? Is Rudy Rudiger considered elite performance, you know, in sport? I think that's the biggest part of the puzzle that we need to define, is what is the definition of elite performance? And I actually would argue that it's actually based on the person and what they're doing and what their goals are, not necessarily what the world would define as elite performance. And that is one of the things I think that's big in society today, is that we need to allow kids to be kids and allow them to attain a level that they are aspiring to. I know it's hard sometimes. I mean, I have my own kids, and I remember the first time we are basketball junkies in our family, or at least I am anyways, and he called up, or not called up, he was sitting there talking to me one day, and he said, "Dad, is it an unwritten code that McCarthy's play basketball?" And I knew exactly where he was going. I said, "No, but why do you ask?" "Because I want to play hockey." And he was an 11-year-old that didn't even have a stick in his hand, but he went out into the tryout as an 11 and 12-year-old and actually made the team. Now, he made the lower team, and he wasn't very good as far as scoring lots of goals. He did score a goal, so it was a great day. But, again, he attained elite performance because that's what he wanted to do, and he accomplished the mission. So how do we define it? I think that's where I come in to say, okay, what is the goal that you're looking to accomplish? And is that goal accomplishable? Do you have to stretch? And is that within your talent level? And like you mentioned earlier with the Michael Jordan and his brother thing, his brother could have been a better basketball player than Michael Jordan, but he wasn't 6'5". I think that so many of the kids nowadays have to realize that some of the top-level performers on TV or in the league or in the NFL are because they have some special gifts in the area of genetics. It's not that they're better, necessarily. It's just that they were gifted with 6'5", 330, or something along that line. So that's the biggest piece of the puzzle I wanted to kind of lay the groundwork for. And then we're going to have Sean come on the show, keep talking about on the phone, but they're actually dialing in, to talk a little bit about some of the things that you can do to get your mind right, you know, and start to create the environment so that you can actually accomplish these goals that you set for yourself. Now, this is another thing, too, I want to put up. For all the weekend warriors, you know, their opportunity of playing pro sports is probably pretty slim. And so that is a big key component, is how do you attain elite performance? How do you do it in life? And those are the things I think there's so many cool questions around. So that is what we're going to do. We're going to set the kind of groundwork. We are just now getting Sean all set up. He should be with us here shortly. We're going to go to a quick commercial break, and then we're going to come back with Sean and talk a little bit more about elite performance in life and sport.
Five Star Basketball, the leader in basketball instruction and camps. Endorsed by Michael Jordan, Dick Vitale, and Hubie Brown, and where the teaching never stops. Five Star Basketball Minnesota will be hosting a one-day instructional camp on May 18th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. and will be hosted by Five Star, The McCarthy Project, and Grassroots Hoops. For more information on the camp, visit themccarthyproject.com/5-star. XL Athlete is the leading provider of online strength and conditioning and speed development camps. For more information on their training programs and speed development camps, visit xlathlete.com. We are excited to offer the following products on the McCarthystore.com. Innovate Running Shoes, the leader in barefoot and natural running technology. We carry the full line of sizes and colors. Berkey Water Filters, the leader in anti-gravity water filtration. For more information, visit themccarthyproject.com or go directly to the McCarthy Project Store website. That's www.themccarthyprojectstore.com.
All right, we are back. This is Stephen McCarthy from the McCarthy Project, here to discuss elite performance in athletics and elite performance in life, because it is synonymous. I do 100% believe that if you attain elite performance in life and in sport, that you'll be a much balanced person or balanced person, and you'd be attaining this elusive elite performance in more ways than just sport. And I think that's the biggest piece of the puzzle, is how do you attain it in a way that is good for all areas of your life. I think so many of these athletes today talk about elite performance and attain elite performance, and really do not allow the other sides of their life to maintain a balance. And then they get into ditches just by simply saying, well, I go all in all the time, and therefore was accidentally drinking too much and I got in trouble. Well, then your philosophy is flawed. And I think that's where we need to come down, and we need to find a balance between how you look at elite performance and have an idea of how it applies to both life and sport, so that you can enjoy the benefits of your success in sport. So that's another angle as well. So with that, Sean Goodsell will be joining us, or has joined us, to talk about elite performance and all the different broad brush strokes that that can create, I'm sure. And Sean has worked with thousands of athletes over the last 10 or 15 years. And so I really do respect his opinion highly, to kind of share with us kind of how you attain it, you know, what's its definition. And I'm sure we're going to wander into lots of other subjects as well. How are you doing today, Sean?
Good, Stephen. Good to chat with you guys.
Yes. Yes. Chris, unfortunately, is not with us today. He has had something come up where he has some sort of an emergency. His nanny was sick. So it has changed it all up for him for the day. So he won't be joining us. But so it's you and me for a while. We're going to have to run the ship and run the show. Hopefully we can survive.
I think we'll do more than survive. I think we'll thrive.
Exactly. We want to make sure that we're professional, and we got to always have really cool jokes. That's one thing that Chris has taught me, is that you have to have cool jokes every once in a while. You can't just hammer on subjects for an hour straight, and then I tell you, the best joke ever, before we get started, is for all you triathletes out there, we were talking with actually Ann Wesley, who's she hosts or anchors a news show on Competitor Triathlon Magazine, and she's from Iowa, which was really cool. And did you have a slip and slide when you were young, by chance?
No, I didn't have a slip and slide, but we had our version of a slip and slide, which was we used just a hill in the backyard that turned to mud.
See, that's exactly what she said. She said she had a big tarp, and she put the tarp on the hill, put some soap on it, which I never thought of that, put some soap on it, and then started to hose down the slip and slide, and that was hours of fun. Well, the great joke came out of this is we were just having a good time, and all of a sudden I made the joke or the statement that in triathlon it would really stink to have a slip and slide be one of the events. He said, "It would be amazing if you had to ride your bike down the slip and slide and if you were able to accomplish it," which I thought was funny enough in itself. But Chris Swarthout said, "Shrinky dink." And I almost fell over because, I mean, I'm like, come on, Chris. And he goes, oh, don't you remember those little things that you would color in when you were a kid? And I'm like, I just lost it. I mean, I'm telling you, because you remember the shrinky dinks, the things that you would color in order you would throw them in the oven and they would shrink up and then you would be like ornaments on your Christmas tree?
I don't remember those. I must have been an underprivileged child.
No, so you did have a slip and slide and you didn't have shrinky dinks.
No, I didn't have either one of those. So I guess I was thwarted from realizing my human potential because of those things.
Exactly. But anyways, it was just hilarious because he was so quick to have both of those back to back. I have all lost it. I tell you, and Anne just went off. She goes after her. She said, you know what? I don't know if I brought much good information for triathlon, but it sure was fun. So I realized right away that Chris has a great sense of humor and that you got to have it once in a while. Life is a bit too short sometimes. But with that said, let's move back to the subject at hand. And I'm sure you've been asked a million times, probably more than you care to remember, I want to attain elite performance. How do I do it?
Yeah, I think everybody wants to, at some level, be a little bit better than they are. And so, yeah, I think I get asked all the time about elite performance.
But first of all, before we go into, you know, how to answer the question, if you will, what is your definition of elite performance? Because I actually happen to believe it's different for everybody. You know, what one person's elite performance might be, I can't believe you're only expecting that. You know, and how do you define elite performance so that the philosophy actually holds? Like when you, I mentioned earlier in the show, it's all cool to have elite performance in one area of your life, but if you take that same philosophy and put it over in another area, it may fail you miserably. I think that's a lot of the problem with athletes, pro athletes, is they get themselves caught because this worked for them for football, but it's not working for their everyday life.
Yeah, I mean, my definition of elite performance is basically outperforming the norm. So if you are a basketball player and the norm or where most people lie is at one level of performance, then elite performance is being able to outperform where the norm is at. And I think that most people only think of elite performance as the top 1%. And because of that, I think we overly glorify people such as professional athletes and maybe other people who are in the top 1%. And we diminish our own capabilities because we're only comparing ourselves to the 1%. And I think in doing so, I think we hurt ourselves. I think we hurt our own genius and excellence. And I think we take away from our greatness because we are comparing ourselves to a population of people that's in the 1% of the category of whatever we're defining elite around. And I think that's diminishing. I think it's self-sabotaging, and I think it doesn't really do anybody any good.
You know, and so much of it, by whose definition is that 1% 1%? You know,
well,
I mean,
I think
that.
You know, Stephen, I think athletically speaking, if you're going to talk about elite performance, I think ideally you have to talk about stats, statistics. You have to talk about production because performance is really about production. And you know, you can perform in a marriage, and you can talk about production from the perspective of closeness, intimacy, adaptability, and things of that nature. But athletically speaking, I think being in the top category or the upper echelon of elite, I think ultimately boils down to performance and measuring the quality and the impact of your performance.
By you're saying, well, your production, do you mean, okay, say you're a Division III basketball player, and you know, and you're 5'7", and you're kind of in the Rudy perspective, you know what I mean, where you just wanted to play basketball in college, and you were able to accomplish that, and you're helping the kids get better, or we're talking, you know, like LeBron James, for lack of a better term, but I mean, he was basically able to attain elite performance relatively quickly. You know, even as a young kid, being told you're the one, and then everybody basing their abilities off of his.
Right.
You know, are both of those people attaining elite performance?
Well, I think in that case, I think elite is defined by the comparison group that you're looking at.
Okay.
You know, you could be an elite Division III basketball player by being in the top echelon of Division III basketball players. But I think anytime you're talking elite, you have to be more clear about who you're comparing yourself to define yourself as better or more productive or more successful in that particular sample size or that particular group of people.
So it really does not come down to your definition. Your definition inside of you.
I think it comes down to more your comparison group. I mean, if you've ever watched the Special Olympics, you realize that there's some elite athletes that are Special Olympians within the group of participants that they are competing with and against. So I think your elite definition has more to do with the group of people you're putting yourself in and associating with than it has to do with the concept of elite.
So is it healthy to, how would some person that would have a healthy understanding of their comparison group, how would they define their comparison group?
I think they would define it by the group that they're, so, like, I mean, every sport has a comparison group. That's why they have Division III, Division II, and Division I, because they're all clustering around a certain talent level or a certain skill level. And so the comparison group is defined by the cluster in which you are associating with.
Is it always healthy? Or, like I say, the biggest question that I see in sports sometimes is that, you know, like, and use just a big example of it is, okay, I want to play in the NBA. You're 5 foot two. Okay. Chances are pretty slim, but Muggsy Bogues did it. You know, so how is it, you know, in your mind, is it healthy to set that goal that seems almost unrealistic? You know what I mean? Because there's only 1 in 1 million that actually are able to accomplish the goal? Or how do you define, what I want to kind of get to is, what is a healthy way to compare or create that comparison group? Because if you create the wrong one, you're just going to frustrate the crap out of yourself.
Well, the way I would define healthy would be being able to pursue excellence within the context of healthy detachment. And let me explain that, because that may sound overly psychobabble-ish. But every day, when I wake up in the morning, I want to pursue excellence. And my excellence might be that I need to write an article. And over the course of time, I might write 20 articles that might turn into a book someday, but I may not have in my mind that I'm going to pursue, when I wrote the article, that it's going to become part of a book. So as I seek and I search to try to find ways to, on a daily basis, pursue excellence, I realize that any number of things could get in my way. I may not have the right network. I may not have the right opportunities. If you read Malcolm Gladwell's book on The Outliers, you realize that sometimes your birth date and your socioeconomic background can play a part in whether or not you're able to achieve, you know, the kinds of things that we all maybe dream of at some level. So, but we all have to pursue excellence within the emotional realm of being able to understand that none of us are guaranteed success, even if we do all the right things. And I think life teaches that to us as well. We can live, we can live a healthy, stress-free. We can eat a good diet, and we still might die of a disease. And I think too many people pursue goals because those goals are going to define them as either successful or unsuccessful. And in the process, they wrap their identity around those goals or that concept of an elite status. And when they do that, without having a healthy detachment from it, I think that's when it becomes unhealthy, and that's when people's lives become unbalanced. That's when relationships start to falter. And that's when a person's psychology and well-being starts to be compromised.
Yeah, that makes sense, because then they become, if they either succeed or fail, if they're succeeding or failing as a person. You know what I mean?
Right.
If they don't detach, well, I succeeded, therefore I'm who I think I am. I failed, therefore I'm not, so I'm a loser, so to speak,
right,
in their mind.
Right.
Interesting.
And there's a lot of people that I think start out with a goal of, you know, achieving a certain result. And I think along the way, because the journey can be really difficult, it can be stressful, it can be unfair, it can be all sorts of things. I think people are impacted along the road to accomplishment or the pursuit of excellence. And I was just telling this to somebody yesterday who was telling me how hard it would be to pursue being in the Olympics. And they said, I could never pursue being in the Olympics because so few people get there, and I couldn't handle the disappointment of not getting there. And that person looked at me and said, what do you think about this, Sean? I said, well, the only way I could pursue a goal of that nature is realizing that the real treasure isn't the accomplishment of making the Olympics. It's the person that I would need to become to pursue that goal, whether I made the Olympics or not. And that's the only way I could pursue a goal of that nature, is seeing that the true treasure is the person I would need to become in order to even qualify for that opportunity.
See, that's amazing stuff, because if you think about it, it's the process. You know, I mean, you hear all the cliches when you start to talk, you hear all the cliches. It's the process, it's the journey, all that kind of stuff. But really, I think you've got even more deeper down than that, is that it's the person that you become, not the journey necessarily.
Well, the journey doesn't make anybody anything unless they allow it to. So we all talk about, you know, a lot of people say, when I talk to parents, you know, as you get older, you mature. Well, maturity has nothing to do with getting older. Maturity has something to do with embracing the journey of growth, facing disappointment and fear, learning from mistakes, and taking the learning and courageously facing challenges that most people would avoid and walk away from. That's when maturity occurs. Well, there's a lot of people that don't embrace that journey. There's a lot of people that avoid that journey, and they don't grow any more mature because they get older. And you can see that in some of our young people. You have young people who can be 15 years old who can look and feel like they're 20 because of the way they've approached their life. And you can have other people who are 20, 22, 25 years old who are still facing and trying to manage the challenges of being 14. And I think that's the same with the journey of excellence, is that the journey doesn't make any of us great people. It's our investment and our ability to be present in the journey that allows us to be shaped and molded and grown through that journey.
See, amazing. All right, Max Siebold will be coming on here in a couple minutes. We're going to be talking with him because he's one of these guys that have attained it. So now we're going to talk about from somebody that actually has gone through the paces and understood the ups, the downs, the different pieces to the puzzle. So we're going to go to a quick commercial, and we'll have Max on the other side.
All Five Star Basketball, the leader in basketball instruction at camps. Endorsed by Michael Jordan, Dick Vitale, and Hubie Brown, and where the teaching never stops. Five Star Basketball Minnesota will be hosting a one-day instructional camp on May 18th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. and will be hosted by Five Star, The McCarthy Project, and Grassroots Hoops. For more information on the camp, visit themccarthyproject.com/5-star. XL Athlete is the leading provider of online strength and conditioning and speed development camps. For more information on their training programs and speed development camps, visit xlathlete.com.
Alrighty, we are back. This is Stephen McCarthy, and I'm from the McCarthy Project, where we've been attacking life and sports since 2001. I am really looking forward to this next 20, 25 minutes or so, because I think we have a neat situation where we have somebody that has actually accomplished a lot of things in the world of sport and continues to accomplish a lot of those things. And then we have somebody that has helped a lot of people attain those things. And I want to really kind of have them have a great conversation about how do you teach young people this information, you know, and what does it take to stay in the now? You know, you always hear about the coaches saying we got to stay in the moment, stay in the moment. I think that's another way of saying what Sean was saying right before the break is how do you enjoy the process enough and become somebody through that process rather than just, you know, attaining the moment and then not learning anything from it. So, Max, how are you doing today?
Doing well. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to this talk.
Oh, more than you know. More than you know. And just I should do one other thing, too, is Max has a very storied career in the world of lacrosse. He has been an All-American at college or in the college world. He's also played in the Olympic Games and represented the United States and currently is an playing professional lacrosse. So he really is one of those people that have attained a certain level of elite performance. And so before we go too far, how do you view, what is your definition of elite performance?
Well, I think it's kind of an attitude that you have to approach everything with. And for me, it's kind of always never being satisfied and always continuing to be hungry to better yourself. And you kind of have to, for me, I have that mentality on and off the field. It's, you know, what can I do to become not only a better athlete, what can I do to become a better person, a better, you know, brother or better son? So it's just constant improvement of yourself, and it's, you know, kind of everyday project on finding ways to improve yourself, knowing your strengths and figuring out your weaknesses and trying to push and make those better. So I kind of take a little bit more of a holistic approach about it.
Because I think that's a really neat point that you make, because I think a lot of athletes that attain a high level of success in sport don't seem to develop the full part of themselves, and they end up getting themselves into a ditch outside of the sport. Now, they can go onto the field or onto the court, and they're able to perform at a high level, but they go out and put in a social situation, and they just short circuit, and they cause themselves really some major problems. Is it simply a more of having a bigger vision of life, or is it something that their philosophy is flawed? How do you look at that?
Well, for me personally, it's just my competitive nature. I don't know. I don't think anyone really taught me that or instilled that in me. I think it just came. I was surrounded by sports and my entire life, and I hated losing, and I always wanted to be the best. If you look at my fifth grade yearbook in middle school, you know, it says, what do you want to be when you grow up? And everyone said astronaut or basketball player or whatever. Mine said, be the best at whatever I do. So I kind of had that attitude throughout. And always, you know, kind of worked hard to try to be the best, because not only do I, you know, I enjoy winning, but I hate losing. And, you know, I also enjoy the process of, you know, working hard and achieving goals. And you know, I think I'm sure a little bit more into this conversation we'll get to goals, but that's important too. It's kind of the pat on your back that you can give yourself after setting a goal, working hard to achieve it, and then, you know, finding how you improved and then moving on to the next thing. So that's kind of part of the process for me. And so, yeah.
See, I think that's fascinating that you see, because you, even in, I remember, it's funny, in this conversation already, I remember our last conversation, you always talked about your family. You talked about things outside of lacrosse almost equally as much as you did in lacrosse. And you literally, have you had that? Was that something that your family instilled in you, or is that just something that, you know, you kind of found is the best way?
I think I found that. I mean, my family has been 100% supportive of everything I've done, and they've always been there, you know, whether it's, you know, either being at the games on the sidelines or driving me to practice and making, you know, getting me involved in sports and allowing me to be around sports, and then whether it's having a catch outside with me or watch games, you know, with me on TV, whatever it was, I had a passion, and they supported it. And knowing that they did that and having them around me while I was, you know, involved in those things, you know, kind of gave me realization of, you know, that they're also a huge part of my life and a passionate or something I'm very passionate about. So, you know, yeah, it is something that, you know, sports, family, whatever it is, it's a big part of my life. I take it very seriously. I'm thankful for what I have, and I try to work hard at improving those things as well in my life. So, you know, family is very important to me. And you know, my parents have done a great job at always trying to push me. And so for me, yeah, it's a little bit trying to, you know, make them proud and continue to improve myself to, you know, show them that, you know, I could be great. And you know, I've never really been too satisfied or too happy with where I've been, because I always want to continue to do better. And you know, my dad's very successful at what he does. My mom's very successful, and my sisters, two older sisters, are very successful. So, you know, and I think it's because of, you know, their attitude, their work ethic, and I think those things are what has rubbed off on me and allowed me to kind of, you know, take that into my own, you know, field and use it to push me towards success.
Interesting. Hey, Sean.
Steven, can I ask Max a question here real quick?
Yep, absolutely.
Hey, Max, you know, I'm so amazed by people like you that can accomplish and continue to pursue excellence. And so a couple questions that I want to ask you, because these are things I run into in my practice with athletes, and I'd like to get your perspective on them. And that is, what myths do you think athletes at a young age live with that keep them stuck from being their best? So what do people buy into that you think is just
right off the
awful?
Bat, I'd say that certain people are born with something that others aren't. So, yeah, I think some kids are held back in just the, you know, I'm never going to be 6'8". I'm never going to be 250 pounds, you know, so therefore I can't do this in sports, whatever it is. Or if it's in school, he's just naturally smart. And yes, I think we could all agree that there are certain natural gifts that certain people have and certain people don't, but that mentality is never going to get you anywhere. And I could tell you that, and I've seen it tons of times, where hard work and persistence, you know, pays off. And it, you know, it takes a lot, maybe even more effort at times, but it doesn't mean certain goals aren't attainable. You know, I've seen a lot of crazy things happen. I've seen a lot of what you would think maybe impossible things be overcome. And I think, you know, in young kids, it's hard to, you know, people don't accept failure, or don't take it or use it as fuel like other people do. And I think, you know, you can look at Michael Jordan. I mean, his story is the epitome of this. I mean, all he ever talks about is how many times he's failed in his life. And obviously it's led to where he is, and he worked hard, and he, you know, put in his time and his hours, and he got cut from his, you know, KV or varsity basketball team, and then before you know it, he's the best player that ever lived. And, you know, that's the extreme story, and it's ideal one to share with the youth, because, you know, it happens, and me being in the midst of my career. I remember being in middle school and, you know, I had one goal in my seventh grade year. And, you know, my sister was in eighth grade. She was on my team. She had more goals than me. For me, it was not the most exciting to see my sister playing on my team outperforming me, but it pushed me. It pushed me harder, and it drove me to, you know, my competitive nature took over. And, you know, I would go and I would play wall ball, or I would go and I would do a little extra running, or I would just spend time holding my stick because, you know, I knew I wanted to be better. I had role models who I looked up to. I set goals for myself, long-term and short-term. And I still do that, and it's something for me that just keeps me going. And that I think the mental approach, back to your question, is crucial for kids and often the biggest hurdle.
I was going to ask you one other thing, Max, because I agree. I think the limitations that people naturally put on themselves is one of the biggest myths that needs to be overcome for people to pursue and accomplish the level of excellence that they want. And talk about you play a sport that requires both a lot of physicality in terms of speed and quickness, but you also play a sport that requires a large degree of technical skill with hands and vision and instinct and things of that nature. Talk about everybody talks about the physical side of the game. They talk about, you know, growing, getting faster, getting quicker, and those are kind of like givens. But what are the small little things that you think have separated you from the norm or separated you from the average that's allowed you to achieve, to this point, a pretty high level of performance?
I think certain things, I've played a ton of sports growing up, and certain things from those other sports that have led me to being successful. I think just some intangibles like anticipation of, you know, the next play or what someone may be thinking or seeing and capitalizing on that. I wouldn't even consider myself one of the more skilled players in the game. I think I'm one of the stronger, faster guys, and I definitely use that to my advantage. But I think in my sport, and I kind of, when I speak to kids, I call it lacrosse savviness. Mm-hmm. You know, it's lacrosse IQ. It's understanding the game, understanding, you know, kind of anticipating what your opponent's thinking, and with that, how do you counteract that and take advantage of it?
Develop that? I mean, that's talked about at every sport, having an IQ in their sport, but what have you intentionally done in order to increase your lacrosse IQ?
You study the game. For me, when I was little, I didn't call it studying the game. I called it watching lacrosse. It wasn't, you know, on TV as often as it is today. But, you know, in high school, middle school, whatever it was, I watched games. I surrounded my weekends with lacrosse. Whether I was playing, I was watching, I'd watch something, and I'd emulate it. I'd go in my backyard, and I'd practice to try to do the same thing over and over. And then as I got older, you start to see the game from a different viewpoint, I guess. And then at college, you really learn how to study film and understand tendencies and things like that that kind of give you a heads up and a step in the right direction. And it really, you know, when you take a broader or more greater viewpoint from up above, and you can see, you know, schemes and, you know, offenses, defenses, and ways things are forming, then it kind of adds to your game. You don't really have to think so much about it anymore. You kind of just know the flow of the game. And then just being part of it, being part of lacrosse for so long, you can't just expect someone to go out there and know the game and know what's going to happen. So lacrosse specifically, just being around the game for so long and having some great coaches who have, you know, really taught me the game, I'm able to see a lot that goes on the field. I think I consider myself a smart player. But there are things, I played soccer my whole life. I played a little football. I played basketball. And you start to figure out, you know, the way people, athletes move. You start to think the way that they try to play sports, whether it's pick and roll or, you know, how people use their body to hit or, you know, angles certain people take. So I use that in my game. If someone's coming, taking an angle at me, I know when to change gears to throw them off or when to stop or how to shake somebody. You know, you don't have to be the biggest, strongest, fastest, most agile person, you know, but some people just know how to manipulate their body, use, you know, certain things, you know, like their shoulders or their head or their eyes to throw somebody off. And just having that general awareness of what's going on around you. And that, you know, I think just for me, being around sports allowed me to develop that.
I think, you know, Stephen, when he talks about that, I think the things he just talked about are really the things that are lacking in our youth programs right now, is helping kids understand that learning the game and learning how to take the assets that you have and utilize them to be resourceful enough to generate success is a lost art in our youth programs these days. I don't know if you'd agree with that or not, Max, but I don't see many people mentoring kids around understanding the game.
I absolutely agree. I mean, everyone's got their strengths and weaknesses, and you want to figure out how to use them and obviously take advantage of your strengths and either stay away from your weaknesses, figure out how to cover them up, or make them stronger.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, you know, you have to have an understanding of the game and how you could, you know, maneuver around certain things and make certain things work.
But you see, this requires
great
work,
stuff, Stephen.
Yeah, well, I think this requires work. You see, I think that's the piece that, you know, in today's society, we are keep told, you know, you make the team no matter how good you are, and I'm there for social reasons, which is fine. I get it. I understand it. But that's as far as you go mentally. What I see what you're talking about, Max, is you have to take this another level to say, okay, how is it that I'm going to step myself up for both success? How am I going to stay away from my problems? You know, or my problem areas or weaknesses. I mean, it really goes a long way.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is, and something I learned, you know, you have to practice full speed. And a lot of practices or when you're on your own practicing, it's you can't, no matter how many, you could do 1,000 reps, but if you don't do it at game speed, you're not helping yourself because, you know, everything changes when someone punches you in the mouth, right? Everything else goes out the window and you just react. And so when you're in practice, you know, at Cornell, our coaches, you know, our conditioning was practice because we would go hard and we would practice every situation and you're exhausted and you have to be mentally strong enough to react and mentally, you know, prepared enough to make the same play when you're tired. And that, I think, is something that even at certain high levels, people neglect. And it's important to be able to understand that because if you're, you know, in the middle of a game and you know what to do, but you're exhausted and you've never done it before while you're exhausted, then how should you be able to do it? Like, how you know?
Because there's so much truth to that, I think, because you get down to it and you realize when your conditioning goes, all of a sudden your legs start to go and you can see performance, you know, decrease simply by the simple fact that you got tired. And it would seem to be such a simple thing to solve, you know, but I got tired. And all of a sudden now you go from scoring 6 goals in the first half where now you can't even, you don't score a goal the second half and now you're a loser and the world's coming to an end, you know, because your mental game is all whacked out.
Right, yeah, so it's not that. Everyone's going to get tired. You can't really do much to change that. Obviously, you can work out and get in better shape, whatever, but you're going to go hard, you're going to get tired. It's just being mentally prepared to make the right decisions in those situations when you're sucking oxygen, you're you know, crawling for a little extra air, and your legs feel like they're going to fall off. So it's that's mental, I guess, mental preparation, that mental toughness, what we used to call it, and you know, how much is going to phase you while you're really in the heat of battle.
Hey, Stephen, I wanted to touch on something you said, you know, about how Max has kind of created some distinctives here for elite or excellence. And I want to talk about a couple words that we use with people that I think have grown tired and are actually hurting us when we talk about motivation. So we talk about something being work, right? It's going to require work. And one of the words that I would like us to start using is I would like us to start talking about we need to make investments. Because work doesn't sound very fulfilling in any kind of way. But if I make an investment in, as Max would say, going to watch a game, then I realize that I'm expecting something in return from my investment. I'm not spending my time, I'm investing my time. And then the second thing that I wanted to touch on is the importance of intentionality. So we have a lot of people that live a very distracted life. I think distraction is killing people's excellence. And because of that, I think we need to go back to more of an intentional lifestyle. And I think if you looked at elite athletes and people that are functioning at an elite level, we would find that they are very intentional and that they understand that not everything that they do with excellence requires a lot of quantity of time, that it requires more quality of time. So from now on, it's like when I go talk to a team and they say, well, how long should we practice? The question isn't how long you should practice. The question is, what kind of quality are you looking for in your practice? And I would guess, you know, Max, you could have sessions where you could have a 30-minute practice, but if you went at it with a certain vigor, that practice could be more profitable and valuable to you as an athlete than if you spent 2 hours doing it at half speed.
Absolutely. There's no question about it. I think it's all about just like in anything, it's quality over quantity. And, I mean, you nailed it. I think it's an investment, and it's maybe hard for certain people to call it that. And, you know, I think there's also a difference in another word that you know, some athletes use, and I think the difference between some athletes and the elite athletes is some people consider practice or working out, you know, or even at college level, if they're sacrificing some of their social life, you know, and to some people that is a sacrifice. To others, it's planned and it's an investment. It's, you know, I'm making a decision to not do certain things. I'm not sacrificing. I'm not giving up. I'm deciding this is what I want, and I'm gonna do what I have to do to get it, and I'm happy with that decision. So there's a difference in that, you know, I guess language as well, or that mental approach, and I think you get more out of it.
And I like everything you said, because words create pictures and meaning to people. And people always tell me, Stephen, you used to tell me, we used to work together, about, you know, how I used words and how I tried to make sure that I got a more precise word because of the meaning and the energy and the perspective that is shaped by a word is incredibly important in my mind.
I completely agree.
And the funny thing is, you know, and I'm going to put it in another perspective, is that, Max, you've done these things, okay? You have attained elite performance by not only a standard of what we're talking about here, but also in a standard in the community and the society. And it's still as simple as this. It's still of making a good decision, sticking to the task, proper mental perspective. It's not rocket science necessarily. It's just a matter of sticking to the knitting almost, in a sense.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I think it's as simple as you know, setting a goal or a standard or something that you want to reach and striving to achieve it and doing whatever you have to do that. It's you could call it whatever you want. If you want to get something, go out and get it. But, you know, you can't rely on anyone else to do it. It's your job. It's your goal. It's your, dream. Whatever it is, you can't expect anyone to hand it to you. And, you know, it's kind of how I was, I guess, raised by my parents. I guess that's kind of the mentality most of my coaches, you know, instilled in me. And through my experience, you kind of live and you learn. You can't really, you know, let someone decide your fate. And if you leave it in someone else's hands, you're not going to always end up in the position you want. Probably less than you really want to.
Okay, let's do this. We're going to go to a quick break. But on the other side, I want to talk about, Sean, if you could kind of give us a more like a analytical side of what does self-talk mean, you know, because that's the, I think the beauty, and I'm going to have Max talk about it on the other side as well, is that it's a simpleness. I mean, you know, there's not a lot of pressure on yourself, although you put pressure on yourself. You know, some people will sit there and say, well, you're putting too much pressure on me to succeed. Well, you know, what does that mean? You know, it, you can have both sides. You got to have pressure to do better, but also on the other hand, you got to be able to take it and just and work with the information. So we're going to go to a quick break, and then we'll – Max, do you have another 10 or – I know we had talked about this. Do you have another 10 or 15 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, so we're good to go. We're going to go to a quick break, and then we'll be back to talk about self-talk and how you accomplish life.
Five Star Basketball, the leader in basketball instruction and camps, endorsed by Michael Jordan, Dick Vitale, and Hubie Brown, and where the teaching never stops. Five Star Basketball Minnesota will be hosting a one-day instructional camp on May 18th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. and will be hosted by Five Star, The McCarthy Project, and Grassroots Hoops. For more information on the camp, visit themccarthyproject.com/5-star. XL Athlete is the leading provider of online strength and conditioning and speed development camps. For more information on their training programs and speed development camps, visit xlathlete.com. We are excited to offer the following products on themccarthystore.com. Innovate Running Shoes, the leader in barefoot and natural running technology. We carry the full line of sizes and colors. Berkey Water Filters, the leader in anti-gravity water filtration. For more information, visit themccarthyproject.com or go directly to the McCarthy Project Store website. That's www.themccarthyprojectstore.com.
Howdy, we are back. This is Stephen McCarthy from the McCarthy Project, and today has gone as planned. I think, honestly, every athlete in America and in the world should listen to this hour, and I'm going to put it that big, to be honest with you, because I just see all the things that people are doing to try to create elite level success, and it's all simply like in your backyard, the ideas, the things that you already have in your hand. If you use those pieces, use those concepts, those theories, you'll be able to succeed. And today we have Max Siebold of Maximum Lacrosse on the show, and Sean Goodsell from the Mental Edge, and we've been talking about elite level performance or elite performance. And now we're going to move over to kind of an internal thing that I think it's also very close to what we talked about earlier. What is it that's holding people back from succeeding in life and sport is what they're saying in their head, not necessarily what is in the external, what their genetics are, you know, where they live, all those kind of environmental things. It's more internal. So, first of all, Sean, let's have you kind of give us like a detailed definition of what proper self-talk might look like or be.
Well, first of all, I think it's important to note that we all talk to ourselves. We all have an inner dialogue about our experiences and about our hopes and dreams. And so it's not uncommon for any person to engage in self-talk. And self-talk is kind of like the word that I think people have become accustomed to knowing or at least understanding. And I want to say it this way, because I want to make it user-friendly for people, but thinking is our way of creating a symbol for how we interpret what goes on in our lives. So, you know, Max is out playing and he gets a great opportunity, and that opportunity doesn't turn out the way he had hoped in the game. Immediately he is put into a mode where he needs to interpret to himself what happened. And a lot of athletes, when they experience disappointment or they experience a moment where things didn't go as planned in their mind, they immediately personalize the interpretation to, you know, I'm not very good, or it's going to be a bad night, or it's going to be a long night, or we're going to lose, or, and that's their symbol internally for how they're interpreting what happened. And so self-talk or self-reflective communication it starts with our ability to interpret and generate an interpretation for what just happened. And once we generate the interpretation, then we pile on that with more thinking. Sometimes we catastrophize that, like it's going to be a bad night, or I'm not very good, and what if the coach doesn't like the way I played, and I'm going to get cut. And most people have engaged in the kind of self-talk that they engage in sport for most of their lives. And so in the same way that sport requires the refinement of technique, it actually, from a mental perspective, a mental toughness skill is the ability to, number one, notice and create an understanding of when you are engaging in an interpretation. And then secondly, it's knowing how to generate the internal discussion or the internal talk with yourself that's actually going to lead you to play at a higher level instead of sabotage your performance long term. So I think some of the elements of quality self-talk are, being optimistic, seeing the positive in what happened, learning, using your mind to create a point of learning and utilization of the learning to play at a higher level. And I can't emphasize enough how much people need to work at this. It's not natural. It's not something that everybody does well. People aren't born with the capacity to engage in healthy and productive self-talk. They have to train themselves to do it. And I would say most of what I do in my practice is uncover self-sabotaging self-talk and teach and train and actually put my athletes on a training program that allows them to learn on a day-in and day-out basis how to generate more healthy, productive, empowering self-talk.
All right, Max, you're up now.
Yeah, I'll jump in there. Yeah, I mean, I can't agree more. I think mental is the physical as 4 to 1, and you have to really be able to harness and control your own, mental game, for lack of a better word. I mean, for me, I go out and I play with no fear of failure, right? I mean, some people, you could look at them and you're saying, he's worried about dropping the ball. He's gripping the stick too tight. He's worried about what coach is thinking, right? And you have to go out there and just play with this no fear of failure, or else you're going to hold yourself back. And obviously, I think that comes with, confidence, and that confidence comes through preparation or having experience in being in those situations. And, throughout my career, I think I've built up to where I am now because I've hit lows. I've, been challenged. I've been pushed mentally and physically to places where, it kind of got knocked down and then I built myself back up. It's just about understanding how to react when you get knocked down or when you hit bottom. And I think that, in a lot of situations, yeah, you have to take onus and responsibility yourself. But for young athletes, I mean, that's important in on how a coach reacts in those situations and how he handles those situations, because it's gonna ultimately give you confidence or break down your confidence and it may have lasting effects. But ultimately, like I said before, you can't rely on anyone else, and then you have to be able to handle your own self and prepare your own self. And if you do everything, I think it all comes from preparation. If you prepare and you prepare full speed, and in different situations you put yourself in, you're going to build up confidence. And with that confidence, you're going to compete and be able to react to situations, not necessarily schematically or what other, your opponents are doing, but mentally, what happens in the game, when you're tired or a call goes the other way, or, you're down X amount of points. Or just like J.R. Smith the other night, he misses 12 shots and he hits his 13th, you just have to have that ability to overcome, and that again, in my mind, comes through training your mind, comes through experience, just like anything else. Some people maybe are gifted with that mental fortitude, but you really have to be challenged and pushed, so that come game day, you've been in that position 100 times before, mentally, you've been there before. You've struggled before, and you've handled it. You've overcome it. You know, not to say you're going to turn around and, you know, go from scoring no goals to lighting it up, but understanding the situation, being able to adapt to the situation, and figuring out, you know, instead of, you know, curling up in a ball and hiding, or, you know, compiling one negative mistake with another. You know, in lacrosse, I always kind of, especially, you know, one thing I hate the most is when a kid is out there and he's on offense and he drops the ball and all of a sudden he just takes a stick and he slams the ground and he puts his head down and he jogs off to the sideline, right? That's one kid. And then there's the kid who goes down and turns the ball over, sucks it up, sprints his butt into the hole, which is all the way back to the other side of the field, and does his job on the defensive end, right? So it's just understanding that, you know, everything's not going to go your own way. You're going to fail. You're going to have to, you know, understand that, you know, you're not going to win all the time, but you have to take the situation and make the best of it. And again, that's what you can control, is at all times your effort and your mental game. And, you know, your stick or your skills or whatever, you're not always going to hit every basket. You're not always going to be able to catch and throw just as late as you want, but you can always control your effort. You can always control your hustle, and you can always control your mental approach to what you're doing.
And I would say related to that is the difference between the two players is one interpreted that situation one way and another interpreted it a completely different way. And the only way to empower a person who can't seem to metabolize disappointment is you have to give them a new skill set of how to think about things. And we think that we can read the power of positive thinking, and we can maybe read different books, and we're going to all of a sudden, you know, have that skill. You have to be in competitive, challenging situations where you are faced with your own inadequacy, and you have to know how to turn that around in that moment in about a half second. And that's something that requires ongoing training and, like you said, Max, preparation. It requires practice. It requires ongoing opportunity to overcome disappointment, because there's no magic pill. It's not like you can take a pill and all of a sudden have a better mental game. You know, you have to work at it in the same way that you'd work at any other skill that an athlete has to have in order to play and perform at a high level.
All right, so in the last couple minutes here, we're going to take, because I always think it's fun to kind of give kind of some little teaser information saying, okay, what are a couple things that I can do to start that process? And so I'd like to hear, because I think it's going to be great to hear that, because this whole conversation, each person's used different words, but we're all talking about the same thing, and I think each person out there would relate a little bit different. So, Max, what are a couple things that people, young athletes, can do to start to develop what we're talking about as mental toughness or pursuit of your goal? What would you kind of recommend to them?
That's a tough one. I mean, for me, I've always had kind of a coach there initially to push me to limits that I didn't think I could get to, and that's when I started to realize what mental toughness was, that, you know, I could be pushed to a limit where I didn't think I could achieve, and then I get there and have to be pushed even harder to get past it. So physically, I mean, I've been in positions in games where, you know, I've been exhausted and have just internalized it and said, you know what, I've done this in conditioning before, I've felt this pain before, and I got through, so I'm going to do that. So I guess, you know, I don't want to tell some kid to run or lift more than they actually could, but when you start to feel or internalize that feeling of, oh man, I'm exhausted, this is it, I can't go any harder, you can. You definitely can. You can push yourself a little bit harder. Specific drills, you know, I don't think it really comes down to the drill. I think it's just knowing that feeling, you know, that you know, exhausted, sick to your gut feeling, or that fear that you're going to fail, or that you just did fail, and just constantly trying to remind yourself, I understand the situation, let's make it better, right? Just don't compound one mistake with the next. And, you know, it for me, that's what's gotten me, you know, to I think the level I am. I think through recruiting, through, you know, tryouts for world teams, I think, you know, I'm not out there, you know, staking goals and burying, you know, stealing the ball. I've gone out there and probably made these teams without scoring any goals because I think I do the little things that matter, and that's, you know, hustling even after I make a mistake, sprinting through, you know, and at all times trying to keep my mental game on point, even when I'm exhausted. And that just, you know, is coming from when I practice and when I train. I'm exhausted. Am I going to say, I need a break, or am I going to just push through it a little harder? And so that's kind of, for me, sorry for not having any specific drill prepared. But
no, I don't think there's, because I think that answered the question, is that you, I think that's perfect, because most people would not correlate getting to exhaustion then practicing. Essentially, that's what you're saying. Oh, it's all cool to practice when you're feeling good, but when you don't feel good, what are you going to do? And I think that, I think that's really...
Whether it's, you know, I in college I give you a conditioning packet to go home for, or lifting packet, whatever it is, and it would be 10 reps, and you'd be exhausted by that 8th rep, and by the 9th rep you're like, okay, I could do this. 10th rep you get it, and then you finish and you're like, okay, I've got 2 more in me. You know, that you know, you force yourself through those, and then you're mentally preparing yourself for that situation again and pushing yourself to limits maybe you didn't expect that you could reach. So,
absolutely. All right, John.
Well, I kind of try to break things down simple because I don't ever want to make things too complicated. But I think number one, if you're going to improve your mental game, you got to start by becoming a student of yourself. You have to know, you know, how you're processing things. You have to maybe keep a journal. You may have to try to start by understanding what's going on in you so that you can, you know, be intentional about changing it. So the first thing is become a student of yourself. The second thing would be in competition, try to create simplicity in the way you approach your game mentally. In other words, come up with one word or two words that you're going to use to guide, you know, to guide how you play. And every sport has, you know, what I would call tipping point moments in the game. And, you know, in lacrosse, it's about, you know, I think it's about possession, and it's about movement, and it's about angle, and it's about those things. And I would let those things occupy my mind, and I would supercharge it with the concept of intensity and focus. So keep the game simple. So become a student of yourself, keep the game simple, and then third, make it a practice to reflect on your game or reflect on your competition after you play. And ask yourself a couple simple questions. What did I learn? What did I notice? And what can I improve on? And I think one of the things, a lot of what separates really athletes that take their sport very seriously is not just the work ethic, it's the attention to detail. It's the ability to think after the game. What happened here? Don't think about what's going happened in the game during the game, because then you'll miss part of the game. But make it a practice after the game to ask yourself some questions after every time. And then after 4 or 5 games, look back at what you've been learning so that you can apply those things and understand that you are getting better, you are progressing, you are developing as a player, and that oftentimes helps to, you know, shore up your confidence and help you see that there's a lot going on that maybe you weren't aware of.
Amazing. I wanted to thank both of you guys. We've hit the next break here. I want to thank Max. Thank you very much for coming. I honestly hope I can get this out to the world, because this is the things that people need to know. So thank you very much, Max, for coming on the show. Where can people get a hold of you directly, if they, because I know you've got some camps coming up here with Summer Ever Arrives in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's snowing right now, so you may have to bring your parka when you come in June. I think it was June you said, right?
Yeah, the end of June.
Yes. Yeah. So, go ahead.
Yeah, we've got a camp at the end of June in Hopkins High School. It's the exact date is the 24th to 27th, and you can find out more about it on MaximumLacrosseCamps.com.
Done. Thank you, Max.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hey, Max, it was nice to have a chat with you.
Yeah, absolutely. appreciate it, and great listening to you and your perspective as well on it all.
Cool. All right, Sean. Any last thoughts that you can give? Because literally, I think this, if young athletes and older athletes too that are, you know, say you're a triathlete, you know what I mean, that is wanting to, you know, get better at their at the sport of triathlon, they could take these same things and just apply to their sport. I can only see them all getting better from that standpoint.
I think the things that Max highlighted and the things we talked about today are really success principles for life. You know, whether it's a relationship, you got to be intentional about what you do in your life. You have to overcome frustration and disappointment. You have to choose the perspective that you want to have on things and fuel that perspective with quality thinking. You have to use quality language. You have to make investments. You have to learn from the things that go on in it. You have to reflect. I mean, these are things that are success in life principles, which is why I am such a huge believer in young people participating in a youth sport, because of the opportunities that are present there to not just play a sport and have fun with your friends, but to truly make it an educational process that helps to mature and grow the young people that participate, you know, for however long they do. So my final thoughts would be, you know, make mental conditioning, mental toughness, generating a quality mindset, make that a point of training. You know, don't just think it's going to happen accidentally. Do it intentionally and, you know, make it a part of your off-season or during the season training, so that that's not the thing that holds you back from realizing and accomplishing your dreams and your goals.
That is good stuff. That is it. I wish I could get up and shake people. This is where I listened to a podcast, and he says, "Well, I just want everybody to get to wake up and realize that this is it." You know what I mean? And because the funny thing about the whole show today is that I really feel that this was like, in talking to Max, it was like you could see him talking, and literally everything was intentional. You guys were almost like in tandem, only he took at it from a different perspective, you know, is to be intentional, to make yourself better, to analyze the situation, not beat yourself up and say that you can't do it. It's analyze the situation, and it takes a balanced effort to do that. I that's one thing that struck me, is that you guys were literally saying the same thing, only with different words, which is cool.
Well, Max is
go ahead.
Just from this conversation, just with Max, I can tell that he takes what he does very seriously, and long-term failure is just not an option for him. And he's put a stake in the ground that said, "I'm going to be successful, and whatever it takes for me to do that, I'm going to do it." And really, when it comes right down to it, no matter how much mental toughness you create, no matter how much strength and speed, it really boils down to the athlete kind of being all in. You know, you got to be all in. You can't be half in. You can't be a quarter in. You got to be all in. And it's not – an athlete isn't all in. If the parent's all in, then the athlete's not. It's the athlete has to be all in. And a lot of parents get frustrated when their kids won't be all in, and then they put all sorts of pressure on them to be all in, and actually it works the exact opposite. So maybe at some point we can get into how to help our young athletes, you know, have a vision for their – participation that will allow them to extract what would, in my mind, be equivalent to a college education and success by being a 13-year-old soccer player or, you know, a 12-year-old basketball player.
A team that you had to pay to be on, you know what I mean? It can be just in regular, everyday Podunk USA. It doesn't have to be on some elite team where you spend $6,000 and you're traveling over the United States as a 13-year-old.
Exactly. There's a success in life curriculum in every sport that our kids play at whatever age. It's just that we need to learn how to capitalize on that and make sure that we are very intentional about passing on those skills.
Alrighty. Well, till next week, my friend. I think we could go on for a lot longer, but we're going to shut her down for this week. We don't give everybody the secrets every week. You know, we got to make sure that they come back next week to listen.
Yeah, we got to make sure people come back, and if they get too much too fast, they'll think that they're drinking out of a fire hose and drown. So we don't want people drowning.
Exactly. Never thought of it, you know, that way, but that's true. You know, we gotta let them come up for air. You know, you just enjoy the process. But I do want to thank you for coming on the show today. And where can people get a hold of you as well if they have more questions?
There's two places. Number one is my website, which is www.mentaledgenow.com. And then I have a video coaching program that I created that is a good starter for anybody that's looking to get started in their mental toughness journey. And it's stayinthesportzone.com. Sport is singular, not plural. Stayinthesportzone.com.
And that's all spelled out.
It's all spelled out, yep. And so far, a lot of young people have enjoyed it, and secretly, I think there's a lot of parents that have enjoyed it as well.
Well, I know that's how we met. I mean, I was 32 years old, and I'm going to do this and do that, and we sit at Starbucks, and I'm sure I always wondered if you were always laughing at all of us talking about our situation, and you're like, yeah, that's a good one. You know? And I still remember, this is the fun part, just sorry about that. I still remember the one conversation that you had, and you probably think, oh, I told it a million times, but you looked at me one time, because at the one time I wanted to be a professional golfer.
Yeah.
I was starting a business, a training company.
Yeah.
I was selling computers, and
yeah,
I had a family of five, well, three kids and my wife, and I was going to be successful at all those, all at the same time. Yeah. And what did you say to me? You said, you got every one of those projects is 50%. Doesn't look like you're going to make it. And I'm like, yes, but I'm going to be as successful in all of them. Yes, absolutely. So, anyways, thank you, Sean.
Five Star Basketball, the leader in basketball instruction and camps. Endorsed by Michael Jordan, Dick Vitale, and Hubie Brown. And where the teaching never stops. Five Star Basketball Minnesota will be hosting a one-day instructional camp on May 18th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. and will be hosted by Five Star, The McCarthy Project, and Grassroots Hoops. For more information on the camp, visit themccarthyproject.com/5-star. XL Athlete is the leading provider of online strength and conditioning and speed development camps. For more information on their training programs and speed development camps, visit xlathlete.com.